Und jobbar nachforschung, dass wir uns hier den Zielen nicht, so dass die Bilder, was die kommentiert, dass das jeder Begriff geformt wird jetzt über die Jahre. Seit 1997 was da Nachforschung gedoen, da ist ein Dokument aufgestellt, was die Leute von die Komitee bestudiert ist. Maar ons sal u vra om ons nou help om nog beter begrip te vorm en vir ons van raad te bedien.
Inkubo ke sesiqale kwakudala kodwa ke siqala ngophando nzulu olezwa ngabaphandi ke kwezibhaliweyo kusukela 1997 kodwa ke ngoku namhlanje ke singamalungu ekomiti amalungu epalamente sizamele ukufunda okubhaliweyo phantsi kodwa ke ngoku sinqwenela ukufumana amava kubantu abayaziyo ababeyinxalenye yembali yamakwena masana babelane nathi ngamava wabo apha ebomini ukuze siqonde ngcono ke indlela abaphila ngayo nokuhlobo lemingqwelo yabo nendlela abanqwela ukuthi bangasixhobisa ngayo ukuthi xa siqula unqwelo mthetho masiqwalasele ntoni nantoni na ukuze singashiyi ngaphandle izinto ezibalulekileyo. Olo phando lubhalweyo nje olusesinalo kodwa ke sifuna uphando lasempilweni labantu abayaziyo ukuthi ekuphileni bona bahlelisene njani na okanye impilo yabo yintoni nantoni ebalulekileyo funeke ingashiyi ngasemva xa kuthethwa ngamakhoyi namanama ingakumbi iinkosi zomthonyama ezizuze iinkokheli zenkcubeko yaba bantu masinqwa nokuthi zingasixhobisa kakhulu kule ndibano yomhlanje sesisiqalo nje sesizophinde siye kwezinye iindawo zentshona koloni nakwamanye amakholo njengoko besesitshile.
We let now invite a conduct advisor to come beside and just take us very briefly. The meeting today is about you, it's not about members of parliament. We are here to listen to your views, but what I would really want to request is that as we take our mind, please assist us to understand. Don't do things that we wouldn't like them to be done in any meeting of the society. Because we have met with many people, sometimes they get angry, they make it difficult for interaction and learning from their experience. We think that we are going to have a very good public hearing and ensuring that you teach us also to understand the entire issue that we are raising with you. That would be the request. I know that at the back, there are no mic. Those who want to speak, they will come forward a bit and take mic in order for us to hear you when you are making proposal. As I've requested, when you take a mic, you state the name, the surname. If you want to continue the area we are from, and then take and assist us to understand the point that we are raising. My appeal again is that we are here together because you want to learn from your experience. Please assist us to understand better by following procedure and assisting us on many other issues that we'll be requesting you to do as we move on. Because all meetings must have a procedure in order for us to hear each other, to appreciate other point of view, but also to allow others also to add our views in a manner that is assisting to have a very cordial engagement amongst us, but also for the member of the National Assembly. I'll invite the content advisor to take us chapter by chapter. And from there, then we are going to open for comment, questions, proposals, suggestions, and then hear what is the view of our people brought on the proposed bill. To happen.
Ons wil gou die inhoud adviseer uit om ons net kortliks in te lig om te luister na en dan gaan ons oorbeweeg om te luister na die menings van die mense teenwoordig op versoek is dat ons dinge op die regte manier moet doen om die prosedure van die vergadering vlot te laat verloop. Aan die agterkant is geen mikrofone nie. Ons versoek dus die persone wat daar agter sit en wil praat om daar na vore te kom om die mikrofone voor te gebruik. Sê naam en die van die area waarvan hy is, Ons is immers hier om van mekaar te leer en van mekaar se ondervindings, en dit sal ons ook help om die regte prosedures van die vergadering te volg. Na die inligting sessie deur die inhoudsadviseur gaan ons oorbeweeg na 'n vraagsessie.
Se da usted la que consta que es los nitrodista que momicolo que igual un cheto y lo que le sija por intelectual dice que hago con un grupo más tarde dice cosa que ojo la puniente la mujer como usted acaba de limpar la mente 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 se da usted la que consta ecobili consta y lucheta se da un lai corda un tutai lucheta al caso de la que le daba el abuyo el de mi cabello la que si que la mente una se sabe como ya un niño que está ahí está chavando la bakhotjana ndikanti babe nemisindo mhlawumbe ngokukhumbula imali babavela phela basizame sithobe umoya ukwenza ukuba sikwazi landelana kakuhle sive kakuhle le nto umntu asifuna negalelo lakhe ukuze nathi sizokwazi ukuncedisa apho sincedisa khona xa sivile ukuthi umntu yimeko yakhe ihamba njani na ababangasemva ke akho mi ngoko ongasemva sakucela umntu xa sinuke sigalelo asondele kwindawo lomntoko ke xa ezawuthetha inkosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to all present in this public hearing. My presentation is going to focus on two broad areas. I'm going to give you the broad objectives of the bill, and I'm going to focus on the contents of the bill. I'm going to refer specifically to specific important clauses as contained in the bill and as contained in the memorandum that has been distributed.
Met my voorligging gaan fokus op twee areas. Die eerste een is die breë objektief en die tweede een is die inhoud van die wet, en ek gaan ook besef en ek gaan ook kyk na verskillende klousules wat hierin vervat is.
Ren manene nan manene gazi nalo jongwe bethi mhlaba ndiyikhoneka advisor le committee ndizokunirhobisa nje kwinjongo eziphambili zalo mthetho osayilwayo ndininike ke nomongo womxholo walo mthetho osayilwayo kunye ke namanye amacandelo akhoyo kulo mthetho osayelwayo, kodwa ke sizoyenza ke ngokuhambelana kwezilayi manje ngoba ndibona. The main objectives of the bill are as follows. One is to consolidate and consequentially to repeal the National House of Traditional Leaders Act of 2009 and the Traditional Leaders and Governance Framework Act of 2003. In order to ensure that we have one legislation that deals with matters relating to the institution of traditional leadership in this country.
Die eerste objektief is die konsolidering en die herroeping van die nasionale wet op bystand tradisionele sake van 2009, en om te verseker dat daar een wetgewing is vir die instelling hiervan.
Enkosi kakhulu, injongo ke zalo mthetho kukuba sidibanise laa mithetho yayenziwe ngaphambili i-Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework ka-2003 kunye ne-National House of Traditional Leaders Act of 2009. Injongo eziphambili kukuba ke sidibanise le mithetho yomibini ibe siyibumbe ibe ngumthetho omnye ozothi ulawule olu lawulo lwenkosi zemveli. The objectives of the bill is further to address the limitations that were contained in the two laws that are to be repealed, to effect amendments, consequential amendments to other pieces of legislation, and to make provision for the recognition of the Khoi and San communities and leaders.
Doe wat er verder is om die beperkingen aan te spreken van die twee wetten wat geroep wordt, en ook om wijzigingen te maken aan andere wetten, zowel als om voorziening te maken voor die erkenning van Khoisan gemeenschappen en leiders.
Zo, we familie, ik heb ook vaak in de zon zo. Ik heb niet gezegd, ik heb gala, ik heb gezegd, ik heb gezegd, ik heb gezegd, ik heb gezegd. Let me go to the next major section of my presentation, which is the contents of the bill. This bill is divided into five chapters. The first chapter is more interpretation, applications, and principles of the bill. The second chapter deals with three sections. Part one is the recognition of traditional and Khoisan communities. Part two is the recognition of the leaders of those communities. And part three is the recognition of the council of both traditional and Khoisan communities.
Oorbeweeg en die inhoud van die wet en werk bespreek, dit bestaan uit 5 hoofstukke. Die eerste hoofstuk hanteer die vertolking, die toepassing en die beginsels van die wet en werk. Die tweede hoofstuk is hoofstuk 2 en dit gaan oor erkenning van leierskap terwyl as die erkenning van die rade van die Khoisan.
Ek sal kom dan na die hoofstuk om te kom toe maar hierbaak in hoofstuk 3, want dit Now, chapter 3 of the bill talks about the establishment of the houses of traditional and Khoisan leaders. It talks about the establishment of those houses at three levels, the national house, the provincial house, and a house at the municipal level, or a district level, or a metropolitan level.
Hoofstuk 3 hanteer die huis van traditionele leiers en Khoisan leiers en hier verwys ons na die drie vlakke, nasionaal, provinsiaal of op 'n munisipale vlak of op 'n distriksvlak.
Chapter 3 ke uthetha ngelendlu yezinkosi ezotisekwe kuzwelonke emabhondweni komasipala ukanti ke kungasekwa eli bhunga lenkosi nakomasipala abamaca i-metropolitan. Chapter 4 of the bill talks about the commission and advisory committee. In other words, that chapter talks about the establishment of a commission on traditional leadership, disputes and claims, and also the chapter talks about the establishment of an advisory committee on Khoisan matters.
Commissie en adviserende komitee. Dit praat oor 'n instelling van 'n komitee sowel as van 'n raad van adviseurs.
Chapter 4, kunelokwenza ke nokusekwa kwe-commission ezokucebisa. Kuzoba khona ke i-commission ezojongana namabango ezinkosi zamakhoi namasana. Kube khona i-commission ezojongana kwakhona ke nobungokheli obu besizwe samakhoi namasana. Now moving to chapter 5. Chapter 5 deals with general provisions. It deals with the code of conduct that we will have for our traditional and Khoisan leaders, the oath or affirmation that they must take. It deals with amendments of legislation as well as repeal of legislation.
Ons beweeg nou na hoofstuk 5, dit praat oor die algemene bepaling, dit raak ook die gedragskode vir traditionele leiers aan, sowel as die aflees vir een eed vir die traditionele leiers, sowel as vir die wysiging van wetgewing en die roeping van sodanige wetgewing.
Dat soek ons saamu, die tjeta te sonake, gebe miselo, kunyeke, nokutunyela kwa makunya, kwakunyeke nemeko zokutshintsha imisebenzi, kwakhona ke nokusomela umthetho lo kunye nokuguzula imithetho ethile. Now I'm moving to give you a broad summary of the key issues that are contained in chapter 2 of the bill. As I've indicated, the chapter first, if you look at clause 3 of the bill, makes provision for the recognition of kinships or queenships, traditional communities,
head manship or head womanship, the section further provides for the withdrawal of such recognition and the circumstances under which such recognition can be withdrawn.
Ek gaan 'n opsomming gee van hoofstuk 2, dit praat een klousule 3 van die erkenning van traditionele leiers, sowel as hoofmanne en hoofvroue, en dit sê ook die inligting wat gebruik gaan word vir die voorsiening hiervan.
Maar ek sal wel aangaan, ek sê nou, chapter 2, uchapter 2 ke une kandelo 3, o close 3, o chike nakabonele ngokuba kuqatshelwe ubunkokheli bekumkani nekumkanikazi kunye ke neenkosi zasekuhlaleni kunye noosibonda kunye noomama abangoosibonda.
Clause 5 of the bill talks about the recognition of quaisant communities and branches. And I must explain, when the bill refers to a branch, in the case of a quaisant community, I will give a practical example. We still have a Khoisan community that is residing in the Kalahari National Park. You will then have members of the same community, some residing here in Cape Town, some residing in Grasrenner, some residing in Johannesburg, or any other place in the country. The bill makes provision to recognize those branches of that particular community.
Die wetsontwerp maak ook voorsiening daarvoor dat daar verskillende takke is van die Khoisan gemeenskappe. Daar is byvoorbeeld een gemeenskap waar daar deel van die gemeenskap is hier in Kaapstad, ander is in die Kalahari, en die wetsontwerp maak voorsiening vir die erkenning van al twee dan. Hoe klos vijf ke, hoe net ook wens, en dan ook zo'n branch, ook aan je klap, die amasele, abando, kan je nusul, abando, kan je nusul, abando, abasala, die dawe zile, omzege, dus nou abando, bamakoi, namasan, abasala, san, kokala, har, zezet, en dan wens, nien dawe, kem samen, wanne masale, kaapa, zalo, zalo. So, hoe klos vijf lowe, ke, hoe bonelele, en bende, ke, sukwaz, bakabhele, wanda, bantzalo, spatatele, in alene, glom, tetu, saila. This is a slight difference with the recognition of traditional leaders. In that traditional leaders in the bill, they occupy a certain area of jurisdiction. And I must emphasize, the bill does not talk about boundaries, it talks about areas of jurisdiction. So traditional leaders will occupy a certain area of jurisdiction, and as I've explained, the Khoisan community will either occupy one main area and other members will occupy other areas in different parts of the country.
Other members of the place anyway.
Klausilo, vijf praat van die verskillende takke wat ken kan word van die gemeenskappe. Dit gebeur dat die een tak van die gemeenskap in een area bly en 'n ander tak in 'n ander gebied dan kan al twee erkenning kry. Loo bakhona ke ubasajonga njengoko esitshilo into yobana ke okukuqatshelwa kobukumkani bamakhoyisana uzofumanisa into yobana mhlawumbi kukho indawo ethile yokuhlala apho kukho inkosi ezilawulayo zamakhoyisana, ukanti kubekho esinye isizwe bakhona samakhoyisana esihlala mhlawumbi kwenye indawo kwalapha elizweni kodwa ibe isisizwe esinye samakhoyisana. Now moving to part 2 of chapter 2, now we talk about the recognition of traditional leadership and Khoisan positions. We have a community in part A, how to recognize the community. Part B, we talk about the leaders of those communities. And clause 7 talks about the following traditional leadership position. It talks about the king or a king, a principal traditional leader, senior traditional leader, head man or head woman. And in the case of the Khoisan communities, it talks about two positions, senior Khoisan leader and a branch head.
Klausilo says, praat van die verskillende forme van leierskap, daar is konings en koninginne en hoofmanne
en dan die omskrywing daarvan. En wat dat ook vaak is, die wat dat ook is bieden, die het dat geen, wat dat ook is bieden, wat dat ook is bieden, dat is de samakoysan. So katela ka ekaleni ke sibane nkosi sibe no sibonda sibe nabanye abantu abanesikhundla ke ngokwendawo zabo njalo njalo. Now the last part of chapter 2, which is part 3, it talks about the establishment of traditional and Khoisan concepts. You have a community. In part 1 you have the leaders of those communities identified. And in part 3, now it talks about the establishment of councils to assist those leaders.
Die eerste deel van die hoofdstuk praat van die gemeenskappe, die erkenning van die gemeenskappe, dan die tweede deel oor die konings en koninginne, en die derde een dan die traditionele leiers onder daardie konings vlak. Van die paar boekloofse, we weet ek moet het wat geen gehoedsekwa, kwa mabungana. Obviously, I know this is the cocaine, so Zamakoi Namasan, Babu Close 17.
Now, I'm not going to dwell much on the criteria for the establishment of those councils. I think they are contained in the memorandum attached to the bill. I'm moving to the next chapter, which is chapter 3. Chapter 3 talks about the houses of traditional and Khoisan leaders. One, at the national level. Secondly, the establishment of such a house at the provincial level. And thirdly, the establishment of such a house at the local district level or at the metropolitan level.
Ek gaan nou nie praat oor die kriteria van die erkenning van die konings of hoofmanne nie, dit is vervat in die memorandum. Maar ek gaan nou praat oor die erkenning van die huis, die skepping daarvan op die nationale vlak, dan ook op provinciale vlak en op districts vlak, waar die huise van traditionele leiers dan ontwikkel kan word.
Chapter 4 of the bill talks about the establishment of commission and advisory committee. As I indicated at the beginning, the bill proposes to establish two commissions or advisory committees. The first one we look at traditional leadership disputes and blame. Any blame that arises out of traditional and leadership related matters.
The first part from the committee and that work committee was verschillend kan aanspreek oor eise van leierskap. Dat die botsende eise is oor traditionele leierskap, dan kan daar die raad
Advisory Committee on Khoisan Matters. The bill establishes in Part 2 of Chapter 4 an advisory committee to deal with Khoisan matters. And the application for recognition as a community, recognition for leaders should be made through this advisory council. And what is important, the bill says people who will form part of this commission, the minister will advertise, the public will nominate people with knowledge of anthropology, with knowledge of the Khoisan culture, history, tradition, to serve in the commission, the Khoisan commission.
Die twee hoofstuk hier gaan oor die raadgevende commissie en daar word dan een commissie aanstel wat dan eise van traditionele leierskap kan ondersoek en daar sal antropoloog dien daarop, daar sal benoemings gevra word en dan sal die rade aangewys word.
La commission que yo comienza a decir que hay muchos textos cuyos que nadie tiene en mi imagen hacia con Agusto Aguibona Gastoña que puede existir su agastama con Inabastán cuando la ley de la Aguchi que gufaba en Gayo y Cero de Pau Mutu Rizambo como cuando que era Uba Abe que un guate un cocino que haya un guía un guquene que se existir su ana eso es Pau Mutu Rizambo que se guquene se ha papasua mas ya van papá que Cero que haya un guía un guía un guía un guía abamaziyo ba ukuba unolwazi intsukaphi nenkcubeko namasiko nembali yamagoyi apho bathi baphakamise igama lakhe balomntu mhlawumbi unowubekwa ke kwiwonga loba ke angangowase bukhosini okanye ngayinkokheli.
Now the last chapter of the Bill, chapter 5, it talks about general provisions. As we all know, traditional and Khoisan leaders, counters, must be given certain resources, they must be remunerated. So the bill proposes amendments to the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers Act to ensure that the new position, as established by this bill, is incorporated in that bill. And secondly, the amendments to the Local Government Municipal Structures Act to ensure that traditional and Khoisan leaders can sit in municipal councils within the areas where they are located. Nou word die veranderinge aangespreek word in hoofstuk 5 oor die rade en die middele wat tot hulle beskikking gestel sal word, die vergoeding van die rade en dan ook hulle plasing teenoor die gewone munisipale rade sodat die commissie en die rade kan saamwerk, die traditionele leiers en die plaaslike munisipale rade.
Is dat zo goed gegaan? Dus dit hangt gewoon in de sectabalala. Umzekelo, kuntekiso, kwamshau, die gaan ze tegen jou kunnen zo goed zien. Kongeza, ze zijn ook gewoon in de lake, noma punga, akoyo, we moeten ze omtonyama, organiseren ze makoi. Zibonele, ze zijn daar, die mensen om, en zo bezig, ze zijn de sapalok, en ze zijn de mensen die zijn de kayo, die dingen in Mali, en dan gaan ze samen in een beetje zo, en kuno, oké, hoe is dat om te bezig, kwamuja, nog zo, ja, nog een beetje.
Chairperson, I've provided the community with a broad overview, the little details in terms of, for example, how to nominate people to sit in the council. Those details are contained in the memorandum that has been distributed and also they are contained in the bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Ja, dit was nou algemene oorsig en die memorandum bevat besonderhede hoe mense kan benoem, of leiders kan benoem, om jou te vertegenwoordig op die commissie.
Leiders is kan nou ingaan, weet je, kabalala, en die enige zel aan kegulees, hoe ba maar dan omkane zo'n mondwein, hoe ba zin zo'n eis in de leklaio, en zin er was koel ngon lom tjeto, ik kon aan de memorandum, ako ik dat nisa kon aan ba, kabo ko is toe, ba se wongo keli, aba zo'n ba, pata misa zane, ama sa ama, aba zo'n ba tungu tiba no fa, kwa, ba be inga zene, ye bunga, ba no tiba yema mela, zin ngon kweli nga.
Thank you very much, content advisor of the follow committee. Well, I think there are copies that are given to members of the public. I think all of you have copies. We will now invite members of our community to assist us. Because we are made, I would request that we mustn't take an hour when a person is speaking, just speak what are the central issues that we want to raise, what proposals that we are putting forward, and to allow other colleagues also to participate fully.
Baie dankie vir die adviseur wat oorsig oor die wetgewing gegee het. Ek sal nou geleentheid gee vir lede van die publiek hier om hulle voorstelle te noem of hulle menings te lig. Maar u sien hier baie mense, daarom vra ons dat u dit kortliks doen. Hou maar net by die voorstelle, by die kern van dit wat u wil sê en voorstel.
Se puede la que con tal hecho de colega traes la que en gusto, la que en gusto, con un sena, como si te ocula hecho para lo va a uno o otro caña en gusto, si te dice que la de Italia, lo que fue lo que te ocurre, que se viene las condiciones de la se hace la que un escape de un palet, un ritual, una que se niga de hecho, un duca de chesa, macaya en gusto, la que se hizo, es una congruencia, un juez de la longa y chacha, la valle va a venir chuba, no se haya, para que una uva vaya a venir, se canga, un poco, un pan de que calero, ya se toma la cheta, que yo, cuando se pica en un tema que está, hay en una nuclea, la que se hizo, un juez de la escena, vaya en chuba.
Let us take the hands of those who want to assist us. Okay. Would be number one, number two, number three, number four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Let us start with this side.
Okay.
Van begin aan die kant, in die volgorde wat ek nou genoem het, van 1 tot 10, kan die mense hulle bydrae lewer dan?
I do request also that once your point has been made, ipos lakho sebetshilo, ungabuyeli nalo kulo, kuze phela sikwazi ukuba nesikhathi esanele sokukhuluma. Once your point has been made, please, not repeat it several times. Allow others also to add more in your point rather than repeating one in the same point. There are 11 members who want to speak this side, will come this side also to have time to speak. Can I invite you, number one, to assist us? And again, really, introduction, Mother Janam, and then the farm.
I'm Reverend Greg Fief. I represent the following organizations. I'm from the Western Cape, living in Loftus River. I represent the South African National Action Committee called SANIC, the World Hereditary Council, called the WHC, the Western Cape First Nations Steering Committee, and Operation Exodus, as well as our church organization called God's Kingdom Movement.
Ek is van Lotus River, ek is verteenwoordig verskillende internationale organisaties en die Nationale Aksiekomitee en ook Operatie Exodus. So ek is verteenwoordig verskillende organisaties, ook met internationale bande.
Nou het het hier is dat jy in de Blankau en die Suga en Lotus River apoke di mela emibuthele iqela eyezizwe ngezizwe neyesizwe kuka ke kunye neenkolo.
For the sake of time, while she's studying, I will continue without the assistance of the PowerPoint presentation. Our introduction is as follows. We want to make known to you the Employment Act, Act 55 of 1998, recognition, speaking specifically on recognition, that as a result of apartheid and other discriminatory laws and practices, there are disparities in employment, occupation and income within the national labor market, and that those disparities create such pronounced disadvantages for certain categories of people that they cannot be readdressed or simply by the repealing of discriminatory laws. Therefore, in order to promote the constitutional right of the Khoikhoi and San peoples an exercise of true democracy, we need to eliminate unfair discriminations in South Africa. When we look at this law,
as ons kyk na die nalatenskap van apartheid, dan is daar so baie wetgewings en wat so baie stelsels wat gelei het tot die benadeling van sommige mense, dat het nie net genoeg is om daar die wetgewing en die discriminatie te herroep nie. En die nadele bestaan steeds en dan moet ander maniere gevind word om dit te oorkom.
Imithetho ke yocalucalulo ususe lapho yangqesho kuya kwendawo zokuhlala nemivuzo eyamukelwayo ibe khona iyahlukwano enkulu ethe yenzeka esingela phansi ke iqela elithile labantu okanye uhlobo oluthile labantu esethina singamakhoni namasalalixhoba lawo ukuyiguzula nje loo mithetho nokuyihlomela akuzuba kwanele kusekhona nokunye kusafuneka kwenziwe okungaphezulu.
Likewise, as a result of the deliberate refusal of the South African government to recognize and accept the constitutional First Nation status of the Khoi Khoi and San people, now derogatively known as the so-called Kulans, they are differentless and in all spheres of the Khoisan's life. I also want to interpret when we speak of the Khoisan, we speak of the Khoisan as the Khoi Khoi and San, including the so-called colored people. And that these disparities create such pronounced disadvantages for the Khoi Khoi and San descendants that they cannot be readdressed simply by the drafting and legalization of discriminatory laws that continues to promote the sidelining and oppression of the Khoi Khoi and San people. Therefore, in order to promote the constitutional right of equality and exercise of true democracy, we object to the traditional Khoisan Leaders Bill. There is no doubt that the Khoi and San were the first inhabitants of Southern Africa.
En staan nou algemeen bekend as kleerlinge. Wanneer ons die term Khoisan gebruik, verwys ons na die Khoi Khoi plus die San en kleerlinge. Daar is baie ongeregtighede wat en ongeregtighede wat nie noodwendig reggestel gaan word vir deur wetgewing nie. Om die grondwetlikheid te bevorder van ons gelykheid, sal die ons nie hierdie wetontwerp goedkeur nie of ondersteun nie.
Ukwala kumthetho womgaqoseko waseMzantsi Afrika ukwamkela abantu abangabehlali nabemi kuqala beli lizwe kumgaqosiseko ngokuthi babizwe ngegama lamakhaladi okanye abantu bebala kanti ke bangaba abona bantu elona hlobo balulo bangamakhoyi Khoisani. Xa sithetha ke ngamakhoyisani sithetha ke siquka ezo ntlanga kunye naba babizwe ngoba ngabantu bebala okanye ngamakhaladi. Ukuthi ke imithetho ecalucalulo eswela kulungisa ngokujongelela abantu bamakhoyi namasali yenziwe ibe semthethweni akuyonto ifanelekileyo ukuhlonipha isidima sethu nelungelo lethu lokuba ngabeli bokuqala beli lizwe.
The international rule of recognition has noted there is a long history to the right of desperate people to have and enjoy their own law, as there is a history of guaranteeing the rights to liberty and property in treaties and other legal documents when one state takes over another state or city or its citizens. The United Nations General Assembly adopted the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, 81 Covenant in 1966. And it went
I want to propose that try to summarize what you have written. Surely I'm going to give us a copy of the submission. And because you are going to give us, I'm just worried that if you take the entire book, you may not have sufficient time for other colleagues to speak. If it's possible for you to summarize the effort of your presentation would be very helpful for many other colleagues to speak in the meeting. And then once we got it, in fact, your system is written down, would be very helpful to give it to the secretary next to you. They must make copies, at least would have on that. But my appeal to you take the essence of the presentation, the critical point, we can deal with the details as we move on that. We can also still give you time when the committee meets to have a discussion on the issues that we are given. It's just to allow everyone also to participate fully.
I hear you, Mr. Chairperson. My viewpoint is that in order for democracy and for the rights of human, it is our right to state our case. If our right is not stated in front of this audience, and anything that I deem important is not given unto them, they will not have the democratic right to either agree or to disagree with me. Hence, unfortunately, we have tried to bring forth a smaller version. We have a document that we have emailed to your offices that states about 55 pages. Out of that document, I have concised it to 15 pages. And if you see it, when you bring these pages down to printing of point 10, it will bring you to 5 pages. So it's basically 5 pages that I'm going to read out to you.
Voorzitter, ons het het reeds opgesom tot 15 bladsy, daar is een lange weergawe wat ek reeds per e-post aan die kantoor gestuur het.
I will continue. It is a codification of customary international law, and Article 27 guarantees the right of persons belonging to ethnic, religious and Jewish minorities to enjoy their own culture. 83, among the customary rights which are protected in Article 27, is the right to preservation of customs and legal traditions. Khoisans are fully capable of resolving their own problems in their own ways and in their own communities. Khoisan peoples have a right to make their own law and apply it in their own institutions in a way which suits them. They have had this right since Roman times. It is a fundamental human right.
Khoisan gemeenskappe, soos ander minderhede, het die reg om hulle gebruike te bewaar en hulle het ook 'n manier om hulle geskille op te los.
Abantu bamaKhoisan ke njengabo emibelizwe babekhona kwakudaladala kwangexesha lolawulo lamaRoma banelungelo loba bangazilondolozela inkcubeko nemithetho yabo baziqukunqele imithetho yabo bayisebenzise ngendlela yabo abayibona ifanele nelungele abantu abahlala kunye nabo ngokwenkcubeko namasiko wabo.
The situation of indigenous people in Africa is extremely serious. And the condition of the descendants of the first indigenous nation of Southern Africa, the Khoikhoi and Sand Nation, so-called colors, in South Africa, are even worse, as we undeniably see and witness the high and severe levels of gangsterism and poverty among the people suffering the most. These issues are exacerbated by discriminations and marginalization of the Khoisan peoples by mainstream populations in South Africa. The most pressing issue faced by the Khoisan people in South Africa is land dispossession and the refusal by government to return the land to the rightful owners, the descendants of the first indigenous and aboriginal people of this land.
Die inheemse mense in Afrika het baie moeilike verkeer in moeilike situasies deels daar en dieselfde geld vir die Khoisan. Daar is verskynsel soos bende geweld, uitsluiting, werkloosheid, grondonteiening en die onteiening is eintlik een van die ernstigste oorsake eintlik wat dan baie maatskaplike gevolge gehad het.
Abantu bemveli belilizwe banemingeni emininzi kuba ke kunye nathi makhoye kunye namasana abanye basibiza ke abantu bebala abanye makhaladi singabantu bokuqala ke kwelizwe leAfrika esemazantsi mininzi imingeni ehlukene nayo efana nentswela ngqeshe ukungabi namihlaba amaqela amingulukuthi sesibizwa ngabaziginisanzi ukusetyenziswa gwenxa kweziyobisi nokuhluthwa imihlaba nokungabi namihlaba nokungabi nanto ibizwa ngathi kwelizwe nanjengabantu abangani
The law does not attempt to return the land to the rightful owners. but to legalize their deliberate refusal to recognize and accept the status of the Khoi Khoi and San people because of the fear of returning the land they have illegally and unjustly given to other groups and claimants. If truth are to be kept into account, then the traditional Khoisan leaders bill are promoting and protecting the injustice the Khoi Khoi and San people suffer at the hands of the South African government.
Mm.
The traditional Khoisan bill are weak and negatively biased against the Khoisan people and their collective rights. The South African constitution makes reference to the Khoisan languages by way of section 6, but the government refused to recognize the Khoisan as the first indigenous nation. The question must be asked, why?
Die wetsontwerp wil nie erkenning gee aan die Khoisan as die eerste mense nie, of die eerste volgere status van hulle erken nie, wat hulle ook die recht tot die grond besit sou gee nie, en mens moet vra, hoekom weier die regering om daardie status van die Khoisan gemeenskap te erken?
Point of order, Shepard. Ja, thank you, Shepard.
Baba, fundist.
Ja.
Ngizocela ukuthi ngabe nama-point of order abazosidisturba kakhulu kodwa ngoba umfundisi
sosukumele
ngicela ukuyilalela
tata ufayiyeyo nice ye you say you are here today to where you are still busy for the bill to just listen up where you can you be, maybe to advise you as a leader. So now, we are not at the stage whereby you cannot present your document, the whole document here. We just advise whereby, because this house is too full, everybody wants to say something. Now, if we can allow that everyone can present his own document, I think everybody has 120 pages here. So, can you say, I think that we need to respect each other and in the patient to do the things, to think for other people also can also have something to say, can you?
On a point of order, Chairperson?
Imankos.
Okay.
Imankos. No, I was giving a privilege, point of privilege to the priest. Let us allow the gentleman to make a presentation. I think it's the last speaker presentation. Because I think Mfundisi, you are right, Ruti. If all of us can make presentation the way, very few of us will participate in the discussion. But we have allowed him, Mfundisi. I think it's on the other Mfundisi. So, Mfumelba, I can't. Yes, ma'am. Take your platform.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to try to do it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because it's
Section 25(7) of the South African Constitution provides for restoration of rights in land to persons or communities who were disposed of property. But those who are denying the Khoisan First Nation status are the very people who have introduced the cut-off date of 19 June 1930. Again, the question must be asked, why? The Khoisan people are survivors of colonialism, apartheid, and assimilation of their identity. Khoisan indigenous languages are not recognized to the point of near extinction. The traditional Khoisan leaders bill failed in what should have been its first and foremost responsibility in and must have been to recognize the Khoisan as the descendants of the first indigenous nation and people. If I may, Mr. Chair, can be allowed to, it's not so much, and it is on the, if I can be allowed to just continue and get the interpreters just to give a background of what I have discussed. It might take less time.
If you are comfortable with that, we'll be happy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The South African National Action Committee, SANEC, wish to place on record that the public hearings which started on the 24th of November 2016 in Kimberley does not satisfy the South African constitutional requirements in Chapter 2 of the Bill of Rights, Section 33, Just Administration Action, which states, number one, everyone has the right to administrative action that is lawful, reasonable, and
procedurally fair. Everyone whose rights have been adversely affected by the administrative action has the right to be given written reasons. And subjects, subsection 3, C, promote an efficient administration. We believe that the deliberate neglect by COPTA and its failure was to continue the injustice practice of the South African government. SANEC wish to immediately move and propose that in light of the fact that the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, COPTA, deliberately failed their administrative duties as per the Constitution of South Africa and intentionally postponed on numerous times these public hearings and neglected to invite all role players, especially the so-called coloured communities of these hearings, that all these hearings be either postponed with immediate effect and that the Department of COPTA refund all financial losses that we as a people suffered due to these postponements. SANEC believes that these public hearings is and was not procedurally fair but injustice to our people, not reasonable and therefore not lawful, as exposed in the Constitution of South Africa. The South African National Committee, SANEC, wish to place on record that the public hearings which started on the 24th does not satisfy the South African constitutional requirements. Our objection and rejections are as follows, Mr. Chair. The traditional public hearing process was unjust, unfair and unconstitutional. The deliberate and selfish refusal of the South African government and the traditional bill to recognize the descendants of the Khoi, Khoi and San Nation, so-called colored people, as the first indigenous nation of South Africa is an illegitimate claim and nothing more than discrimination and injustice, while the bill disposes and disinherits us of our sovereignty and right to self-determination and governance. The bill does not recognize the identity theft, slaughter and genocide of the so-called colored people, descendants of the Khoisan, or the land stolen, while it equally denies to recognize the decimation of black Africans suffered at the hands of colonialism and apartheid. Mm. The government developed criteria as to who can claim Khoisan culture and heritage without consulting the nation. While it refused to give equality in terms of leadership, we too, like Ibnisa, the Indigenous First Nation Association of South Africa, reject the bill for trying to build a new society without attempting to address and remove the fundamental psychological, social and economical disparities, equalities, all Indigenous Africans suffer in a meaningful and expressive manner. We reject the traditional Khoisan leaders' bill, as it does not give us our right to self-determination and governance. The United Nations recognize indigenous people that are indigenous to their geographic areas and recognize their right to self-determination and governance. The bill is not designed to benefit the Khoisan, but to protect the biased and unjust fears of the South African government, that by acknowledging, accepting and recognizing our first indigenous nation status, it will have to return the land to its rightful owners, to us, and fear it will create divisions in the country and would not be sustainable. Such was and is the warning stated in the report of the Deputy Minister Obed Bapela on the 27th of the 11th, 2016 to the very National Assembly. This is nothing more than an admission, Mr. Chair, by the Deputy Minister Obed Bapela, of the First Nation status of the Khoisan and the awareness of the South African government of such First Nation status. The traditional bill stripped the Khoisan nation of our rights. The traditional bill is an apartheid policy imposed in a democratic South Africa, and it goes against the Freedom Charter. The traditional Khoisan bill does not protect the Khoisan people against abuse, but rather open us up to the exploitation and manipulation. I can also include their fears. Some is rejectable because the traditional bill takes us back to the tribal classification of apartheid era. and entrench stark legal divisions between the former Bantustan and the rest of South Africa. The traditional Khoisan will favor traditional leaders and not the Khoisan people, leaving the communities at the mercy of their leaders, who can easily intimidate them. The problem of lack of accountability by traditional leaders is widespread in our country, Mr. Chair. SANEC rejects the traditional leaders bill, as the Deputy Minister of COGTA failed continuously in addressing previous objections to the bill, especially the objections from Dr. Anika Klaasens, Director of the Rural Women's Action Research Program in the University of Cape Town Center of Law and Society, of many other scholars. These submissions we hold clear. For the sake of time and for others, I will not share the sentiments of all the learned scholars of the universities of South Africa as well as international places, but I will forward it also to you. I thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Let's take number two.
Thank you, sir. Yes, I only have 5 pages, but as you can see, the print is large. It's actually 2.5 pages. So, yes, it's covered. We will actually provide you with a full submission, the short one and a full submission. Salutations. Crisis. Kedangans. Everybody present, but especially my Aboriginal Khoisan Nation people. There can be, Mr. Chair, no comparison between us and the people called traditional. Today, 22 years and 8 months, exactly, they've been brought into the fold. Let us keep that in mind. Unless people want to forget it, historical amnesia, not only in colonial apartheid time, but in the so-called democratic order. My colonial family line is Francisco Mackenzie. My original Khoisan line is Chief Oshimao. And I refer to the third and the fourth of the portfolio committee in E249 earlier this year, where I spoke. And many of the things will be in echo. We put it in point form. So, I'm from the Western Cape Legislative Khoisan Council. I've been mandated. I'm a member of that body to speak on our behalf. So this council is the most representative Khoisan body in the Western Cape province, but was acknowledged by no less than the person, the Honorable Minister Bugile Nkwenti. 10 May 2015, the townhouse conference. I don't want to elaborate on that, but the council is the custodian of the issue of engagement because 1980 already we put the NKC on the table. It was never from this government. Therefore, this ancient voice came from us. Never ever from this government. The government then only responded. And there was a document that showed out the shortcomings of the 1913. Land Act before. The first act was 1994, Land Restitution Act. And I was saying then, as I was saying now, did John Van Riebeeck arrive 1912 for the formation of the ANC? It's very strange, cutting off all that history. So, this council is a custodian, and we went 1980 to try and speak to the decision makers, because the African National Congress had then from resistance to governance, and so we said include us. So there were those voices, early voices, trailblazers that said include us. Meaningful arrangement within a constitutional arrangement. However, our sincere attempts thus far have been met by constitutional connivance and democratic deceit. Therefore, the title, the heading of this proposal, or this submission is constitutional connivance, democratic deceit. Why? Connivance means pretend not to offend. You've left us out, you didn't know that we exist. So what happens now? So the process that follows this democratization, whatever 1, 2, 3, Kenton Park Agreement and whatever, is a democratic deceit. So now you want to include the exclusion with exception, it can never be. It can never be. An example of that is the first National International Conference of IDASA, 1995-1990, August. The title, National Politics, the Question of Identity, the Case of the Western Cape. And no less than the former president, Nelson Mandela, Rolihlahla Mandela, said then, he apologized for using the C concept, that is the word colored. And he said then that yes, we will have to do something about this, because this concept is so relevant, and you are from Africa, we have to include you. And yes, sir, that is the thing of this Aboriginal voice, because why? This conference, official publication. Now that we are free, colored communities in a democratic South Africa, headed by Wilma James Carey Cullinan and Daria Kuli-Gwaya. The significance of this conference is the evolution of our democracy, in underscored by the fact that the keynote speaker said that, that we should be included. The limitations time precludes me from elaborating on that. However, our former participant, 1995, I spoke Saturday just before 12 o'clock, 19th August 1994. And what happened? In this former publication, nowhere was the legitimate voice of the Khoisan. It has been systematically and consciously excluded and expunged from the national discourse by architects of the post-1994 democratic order. Now let us go to the Western Cape Legislative Khoisan Council and the TKLB. The forerunner of the TKLB, the Traditional Khoisan Leadership Bill, was the NTAB, the National Traditional Affairs Bill. However, they discovered, we're not in there, the name Khoisan, so they're going to change it, going to put a different name. Now, with this submission, this council, I refer to the Western Cape Legislative Khoisan Council, formally and officially rejects the TKLB in its current form. And we base our rejection of the TKLB on the following positions. A, that we, the Khoisan, are excluded from the arrangements of Act 108 of 1996, also known as the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. B, all legislation emanates from the founding legislation of the Republic. We are of the considered opinion that the TKLB is a manifestation of a haphazard attempt to include the Khoisan into the constitutional arrangements of the country in an improper manner. C. Furthermore, the silence of the TKLB on the issue of aboriginality and First Nation status of the Khoisan people implies that it has been adjusted to be of no consequence by a competent court of law. However, we want to bring it to the attention of this committee that the scrutiny of a competent court of law of the international legal frameworks of the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People under and Convention 169 as it pertains to the Khoisan has not yet been initiated nor concluded. Therefore, it is premature for this bill to be silent on thus, or thus to ignore these fundamental issues. B. The title of the TKLB suggests that an inclusion of Khoisan leadership without the acknowledgement of the Khoisan people of which the leadership form but a part. E. Furthermore, the bill talks about the arrangements around the leadership of the Khoisan but do not respectfully, I say again, express any word on the acceptance of the existence of the Khoisan people is a fundamental source, thus its starting point leaders. Still furthermore, F, the bill confines the role of this invented and cut off from their people, Khoisan leadership, to an advisory role and not a legislative role. This is reminiscent of the advisory councils of the colonial apartheid era. G, the title suggests that legal arrangements around traditional and aboriginal communities are to be conflated under one bill. It is our considered opinion, Honorable Chairperson, that this is a fundamental weakness of the TKLB in its current form. is there are fundamentally different principles governing traditional communities vis-a-vis the aboriginal communities. And this is the final thing, then I'll pray and I wish. The definition of Cape Colony has no basis in history, but it is a product of colonial and apartheid legislation. It's a forerunner of the concept Cape Colony. When they discovered that the colors are all over the country, they removed the concept and they simply speak of color. And you know, most there are six definitions of what this color. And I have a clear definition. These kinds of things. So therefore, we are of the view that the Aboriginal communities group under this notion.
This whole submission is misrepresented.
It's wrong.
Because
why do you acknowledge only
a position
that
he does not?
The Quran, fraud. The Sun and the Nama. Why? What about, for instance, the Yesakwa, the Hainokwa, the Khorokhokwa, the Khokwa, the Tobikwa, to name but a few. So therefore, our argument is, we have been reduced to a leadership without a nation, and a nation as being merely a community. You see, Chairperson, after 22 years and 8 months today, it's an indictment. Now what is our prayer? Our fervent hope, our wish. One, that the Khoisan be included into Act 108 of 1996 in a proper manner. So if we want to, we can on the basis of UNGRA and Convention 169 reject this constitution because our cause is noble and just. We say no. Let's include us. Because the exclusion means fundamental amendments to Act 108 of 1996. Why am I saying this, Chairperson, or we saying this? Then, it's because you must understand, Chairperson, that it cannot be that we become an attachment. Our First Nation status is understood from this council as being Aboriginal, nationhood. Therefore, we derive our First Nation status, meaning we were here always. We don't have a date. We don't have a date. And we have two evidence. Kulipa'aho, this mountain, Cape Point starts as the symbol of our nation, the entrance to our land, our sacred ancestral heritage land, our blood ground, and our spiritual home. The second one is not paintings, our people weren't drunk. It's sacred writings, high places, mountains, caves. It's sacred. They're still trying to unravel it. The second point is our prayer that the Khoisan be afforded their rights as an Aboriginal First Nation under UNGRA and Convention 169. Three, that a mechanism similar to the traditional communities under the Indian Constitution of 1993 that led to Chapter 3 and Chapter 12 of Act 108 of 1996 be enacted for the Aboriginal community in order to build the institutional coherence of the Khoisan. That is what has happened. They stopped and established the 1993 constitution, interim constitution, you, the black people, the indigenous communities, look at the death you're saying. And they've got support, financial, whatever, experts and all of that. Can we do the same? Today's process is actually taking a green apple and trying to make it right by pressing it. What you get the result is a rotten apple. Inedible, Mr. Chairperson, with all due respect. Number four, that all legislation, including any future replacement of the TKLB, relegated to the Aboriginal communities to be made distinct from the legislation covering traditional communities. Chairperson, that is a distinct and a marked difference. Languages, yes, there are communalities, but there are distinct differences. Customs, practices, our ways, our modes of existence, of life. It can never be. That therefore, it then means, if we can continue this, it therefore means it is a neo-colonialist back way of doing what the European whites did. They wanted attachment. It can never be. We share two things with the traditional community, the people from the African communities. It's the continent Africa, undeniably. And subjugation, colonialization, however, the longest. While they speak of apartheid for the 8 years, Chairperson, he speak of 364 years continuing. I don't even want to go into Nunes as he told the World Liberation 1510 and then 1659. So please, let us show respect as pertaining to this continent and the peoples of this continent. It's a shameful disgrace and indictment that we see white people, European people, former colonialists sitting in this house, having a seat, and by the way, Parliament is built on sacred ground. And the absence, absolute absence, exclusion of our nation people. Number five, that all future legislation concerning to the Khoisan is promulgated in alignment with our concerns and our prayers containing this submission. Chairperson, I want to thank you for this opportunity and all the participants here today, my nation people. Let us be a living witness of what is transpiring here. Because whatever happens is today is the dividing line. Those that accept this bill, they must understand. They cannot be my nation, not really. In word only, yet they can say it. But they never have a reason. They cannot. Because they don't accept being a sequels laid behind the bush and a bed in a shed. You do not know your mother, but you suspect the man on a very way, far away, is the father. As is the concept of Malawi, Laotri, and Matayaka, the Yakari. Should be expounded. Honestly, let us be honest with one another. Look one another in the eye as the people used to do in the continent of Africa. But to do that, honorable chair, truth, justice, must prevail. Like the wind, must prevail. And this is why, chairperson, it is the broadening, the deepening, and the widening of democratic principles. I cannot but end off. Atua tama. Atua tama. It means the fight for survival continues unabated on all levels of life.
Thank you very much, of course, for your presentation. Okay, now thank you very much for that. Let's take number three. And again, if we are covered
Thank you, Chairperson of the Parliamentary Committee, for this opportunity. I am Principal Leader Aubrey Hector. I speak on behalf of San people, specifically the Ibikwa San. I admit I am a subject of His Royal Highness King Dirk Louis. Who head the crowds of the Konakwa people of Matikan, who head the crowds of the Honemans people of the Cedarburg Mountains, who head the crowds of the Waimakswa people of Tankwa, and also the Brikwa crowd of the Witzenberg. We would like to congratulate the Portfolio Committee for bringing the process to where our communities fully support the enactment of this bill that gives due recognition of the customary institutions of the Khoi and San communities. We, Chairperson, however, would like to help ensure the bill complies with the human rights, equality, and inclusive, and ensure the KwaZulu-Natal communities can fully form part of the relevant South African policy frameworks as part of our collective rights. Chairperson, our evolved understanding of what became known to our customary structure as an Ibikwasan kingdom pertaining governance and regulations are that the Supreme Law of South Africa, the Constitution, does recognize customary law under Chapter 12 with specific reference to traditional leadership. Our interpretation as a San people of Chapter 12 thus could not be misleading us. It could not be misleading us as a San people not to be included. Furthermore, the South African coat of arms displays San warriors with pride as a symbol of unity and diversity, accepted widely as the bedrock of all South African society. Chairperson, as part of our submission to the bill under discussion, we wish to present for now only three key issues. Our more technical and session-specific input we will further submit in writing to your desk. Number one, the criteria for recognition of KwaZulu-Natal communities under Section 5, we would like to have a restorative approach. Our central concern is around Section 5 referring to the criteria for the recognition of KwaZulu-Natal communities. One, as a history of self-identification by members of the communities concerned as belonging to a unique community distinct from all other communities. Two, as a proven history of coherent existence of the communities from a particular point in time up to the present. We, as San people, as the Ibikwa Kingdom, we understand the importance of having a set of criteria for our policy implementers to determine who is legitimate KwaZulu community. That's a fact. After 300 years of non-recognition, it is also important for our KwaZulu communities that recognition occurs with due consideration on the effects of colonialism and apartheid on the customary institutions of the Khoi and San communities. We also wish to allude to the fact that the former UN United Nations Special Rapporteur, Professor Rodolfo Stapanaten, confirmed during his visit in 2005 that there is a need to recognize that the historical fragmentation of the Khoi and San people could pose obstacles for the recognition. He mentioned that. A restorative approach is paramount to address the root causes of the Khoi and San vulnerability. The apartheid classification, their talents, denoting that they were neither European nor black, made the Khoi and San socially and politically invisible. It's difficult to prove a history of coherent existence because apartheid policies tore at the social cohesiveness of the Khoi and San communities. It is important that the bill recognize the impact of this forced assimilation. Likewise, groups or communities or tribes may no longer occupy a specific geographical area and may have been forced to stop observing distinctive established Khoi and San customary laws and customs. We therefore recommend to the Portfolio Committee that the criteria recognizing the Khoi and San communities take a restorative approach, please, in line with the post-apartheid democratic constitution. We special recruitment, the removal of the two requirements of section 5.1 and 2. Number 2, the Premier having the power to recognize and ensure the withdrawal of Khoi and San communities. Under that heading, we also wish to state our concerns with the power for the recognition and withdrawal of recognition lies with the Premier. We don't feel that this is appropriate political level, given the importance of the decision. It does place the Khoisan communities at a particular vulnerability by giving both decision-making powers at the province. Chairperson, it is not enough for the Premier to send an annual report to the National Minister. We want to recommend that this be a competence of the National Minister. In the alternative, it should be an appeal, there should be an appeal procedure of the Premier decision the communities can make to the National Minister. Chairperson, the last input. Our support for the African Commission / African Union position on Indigenous peoples. Our communities are very proud of the long and the historical history of the Khoi and San in South Africa. We support the African Commission and African Union's approach to the issue of Indigenous peoples. We support it as the Khoisan Kenya. While we are proudly Khoisan cultural communities, we are ultimately Africans. We want this bill to be enacted to ensure the Khoi and San access their group collective rights on par with our fellow Africans. Chairperson, the African Commission has laid down a policy approach to the issue of Indigenous peoples. This approach speaks to the particularities of the continued struggles of African Indigenous communities in post-colonial Africa. In that post-colonial African, governments should put special measures, not special rights, they should put special measures in place to assist these communities to access their full human rights. The enactment of the bill, with due consideration of the particulars of our historical case, context, will be a key restorative step to ensure the Khoi and San is fully included as fellow Africans. Chairperson, allow me to recognize the restorative approach of our fellow cultural groups out there. The mighty Kekurana, the mighty Kurana, the mighty Griqua people, the mighty Namaqua, and the mighty Khoi and San, which can be redefined today as numerous tribes which have already been named. I recognize them. I thank you, my leader. I will forward a written submission to your secretary.
Yes. Thank you for the presentation submitted to our secretary. Make copies for members. Can we take number 4? Yes, number 4.
Mr. Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. Greetings to all present here. My name is Jonathan Miller, and I am the Gorogoka Commissioner. The Gorogoka. I also want to greet, I'm not sure if my Paramount Chief is here, Henny van Wyk. Paramount Chief Henny van Wyk is here. I want to specially greet him as well. Welcome. The memorandum speaks of the traditional and Khoisan leadership role. I just would like to say that I wish that it said indigenous.
Yeah.
I wish that it said indigenous. I also would like to say that we are not looking for recognition because we know who we are. All that we are looking for is acknowledgement. That's what we're looking for. The South African government has failed us with the last census that we, with the last population census,
did not have a little entry that asked us to put our names down there. So in actual fact, no census, no budget, no recognition. That's where we stand today. I read further in this document that it says that certain people, certain learned people, have identified things regarding to our culture. It's the first time I hear about this. So I hear about people that have spoken about me. I promise you, they've not spoken to me. And this has been our history throughout the existence of the South African. We are not black, Mr. Chairman. That doesn't mean that we are better than black. We are indigenous. And we have our own structures. And we have our own way of doing things. And nobody's come to ask us how we do it. They assume, the government has always assumed, that our structures should be the same as black structures. So therefore, government has set out a criteria, as far as I've read, that is similar to that as our traditional tribes. But hang on, we are not traditional tribes, we are different. It sets out further other criteria and talks about land, about we need to show ownership of our areas and of our regions. Can I say this, that as far as I've read, we have had territories where our people have lived. Beyond territories, we have homelands, regions where we commonly went around, and those homeland, those regions overlap. But territories never overlap. So we cannot speak of home ownership. We are not going to go the way of claiming land as prescribed by the opening of this new 1913 Land Act claims. We didn't own blocks. We own the country. They're not going to be put in a box.
No practical language.
With fences around it. And we told by government that if you cannot pay the rates and taxes, you lose the land. No, how can you lose what belongs to us? It says the president may have an investigation conducted to determine whether the relevant traditional committees comply with the criteria of recognition as kingship and queenship, and may also direct the minister to conduct certain consultations in this regard. Where is the self-determination of the indigenous people in that? We don't want to be included into a committee as prescribed by this document. We are different. I am not politically correct. I am indigenous. That's why. Let me just say that there's many people here who say they belong here because they were born here. Welcome.
Yeah,
welcome.
Namaste.
But don't forget, this might be the land of your birth, but this is the land of our origin.
And our ancestors. Our ancestral land.
We don't want to become westernized to the point where we come and put down our signature here. Our honor is our word. We are honest. We have dignity. We are a proud people. I would like to say that we cannot be cannot be brought into a structure like this.
No, we cannot.
Because of our numbers. Let's be real, because of our numbers. What kind of representation are we going to have in a committee such as this?
That is already existing.
How can we expect to get a fair treatment in a committee where we are going to be a minority? Mr. Chairman, the person you mentioned there, quite interesting was mentioned that our leaders are going to be co-opted. This is the plan, to be co-opted onto structures. And then they're going to receive remuneration. Please, I ask you not to be that divisive. Because we have customary structures. Money don't go to leaders. Money comes to structures. Structures pay the leaders. I would like to say that the coat of arms is very clear. It says, diverse people unite. It asks us a question. It says, please, diverse people unite. Let me say that we would love to unite. It doesn't say diverse people are united. I would also like to say that I'm very proud when I went now, when I stepped outside of this chamber, I saw a gentleman standing on the back of his shirt. He said, self-defense unit. Khoisan self-defense unit. What a proud thing to see. What an amazing thing to see. Why, Mr. Chairman? Because this government has failed us. This government stands by and sees that our children are killed in the townships and they do nothing. This government has failed to secure the safety of its most important community. The community that carries the oldest DNA of any people group in the world. They talk about the amazing flowers. They talk about the amazing trees. They talk about the amazing companies. Let's talk about the amazing people. If we become less important than the plants, and the rock, and the fish, and the mountains, I want to just say one more thing, Mr. Chairman, and then I want to close. Don't forget that in 1929, the last permit was issued in Namibia to hunt and shoot a Bushman woman on sight. Let me just say that the first people that were called by the K-word in South Africa was the indigenous people. The first people against whom the past laws were instituted were the indigenous people. We are violated, we continue to be violated, we reject this bill because it doesn't talk about our self-determination.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Knowing very well that it's very difficult with a place facing
is one of the most difficult things to.
Yeah, but is that is out of place.
Now, we must allow the interpreter to assist. Interpreter, we are here. Just try to assist.
Chairperson, I'll try to give a very brief summary. The kern van die betoog was dat die hele grondslag van die wetgewing verwerp word omdat die gemeenskappe oor wie dit gaan eintlik nie erken word as 'n gemeenskap nie, in die sin dat hulle nie gevra word om hulle eie mening uit te druk en hulle eie eise te stel nie en hulle beleidsrigting te stel nie. So die gevoel was dat hier weer besluite vir 'n gemeenskap geneem word en dat die gemeenskap nie toegelaat word om hulle selfbeskikking uit te oefen nie, om besluite oor hulle eie toekoms te neem nie, wat hulle self getrek
point of order.
En dit is die verwerping net soos apartheid voor dit
gesagd.
The request was for the interpretation of the praise, you know, so that we might understand and also exhort with him. This is so delightful.
Yeah,
I've requested the interpreter to assist. He is also interpreting. We must accept that. There is an interpreter to assist us. Try to assist us.
First summary, Chairperson, thank you, is that the indigenous people of this country, if you can be patient and be firm on standing for the truth, maybe one day we might be fortunate.
What?
Well, let us proceed. All things seem as they got their own way of putting things. Let us not try to teach them how to play things. Let us move to number 5. Number 5, you wanted to assist us also. This is number 5. When number 5? Yes.
I greet you all in the universal greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Shahid Stakala. I'm a member of the ANC chaplaincy under the leadership of Reverend Templeton Bekwa. I'm also the president of Khair Nisa Foundation. I'm here to speak on behalf of the Khoi Muslims in South Africa. We accept this bill, however, there's a few issues that we disagree with, and we will forward our objective in writing and the directors. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll allow you to make a presentation, forward it to us, we'll have a discussion. Number 6. Yes, Bob.
Thank you. I'm going to be very brief.
The mic.
I'm going to be very brief to the point. And my point will relate more in to what you have summarized there in that desk, Mr. Shannon. And then I've written information, if any. Now, let me say that my name is Mandule Pikicha, the chief, whose roots are in Willowbay under the jurisdiction of King Zorongabera. I am here in Cape Town under Chief Doug Shang, whose offices are in Langa. There are not a lot of prophets here, and we would agree that a lot of temples and prophets are also here and true. Now, my first contribution relates to your very preamble. You talk about consolidation, repeal of the national house, so as to have one legislation, which I appreciate as a person, but I want to say to you, there are two concepts that become very significant in a form of leadership. One, it is the status of that leadership, and two, the power in that leadership. And I'm saying to you, if indigenous leadership is to be given any significant place in South Africa, it has to hinge more in those two concepts, which at this present moment is not the case. If you look at chapter 7 and 10, you will see what I'm talking about. And in that, I am asking you, kneeling to you, and saying, intervene in those two chapters so that kings and chiefs have a significant contribution in the governance of the municipalities, as interpreted in chapter 7. Two, intervene in the adaptation and correction of chapter 12 so that indigenous leadership has got a real power. Because if then we don't have a real power, this whole exercise must be nullified. Coincident and the present traditional leadership will have no power. And in that, there will be independence of politics as is the case presently. In the summary of chapter 2, I was struck and very pierced by the first statement that says, recognition of kings with the withdrawal of that recognition. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is how I heard you. And the question that I'm left with lingering was withdrawn by who? You know, because if then you are saying it is by the government, I have a serious problem in that. Indigenous leadership should not be dependent on the present politics. So if that's the case, then it must be corrected by you. This leads me to, you know, I've seen when some of our kings are coronated. And in most cases, I see that, you know, they're given some form of certificate by the government. And again, I question that, because I'm saying, for a king, whether it's Pondo or Khoi or Temu or Khosa, for him to be that king, it should not depend on some, you know, current temporal politicization of our status. So, it is the very indigenous people must decide as how should be that recognition. Should not be the certification by some form of government. So I hope you look at that. And in that chapter you also talked about the migration and distribution of our people in different areas. And that is true. That is why you find me a deputy chairman of Kontalesa in Cape Town, where there are a lot of Kofas, Temus, Potos, Shuri. And you talk about, you know, very important concept of recognized recognizing those communities, and I agree with you, but I'm saying the structure of that recognition must be determined by those communities. I'll give you a summary of the structure in those areas where we've got current and kingships. It is the king, it is the tribal authority, it is the chiefs, it is sub-headmen and its people. Now, that might not be necessarily a very genuine arrangement, but this is working at the present. The only thing that you would do when one would recognize that structure, it is to empower those structures. And I ask you to do that. And I want to say that when you recognize these communities that are in different areas in South Africa and provinces, there should be some form of structure, not necessarily the same as this one, a structure that is going to be given power. Because if it doesn't have power, then it should be nullified. It was going to be in your pocket. Now, going further, you talk about something very important in chapter 3, the house in all the areas, including, you know, local house, which is not the case now. And I'm saying that will be a good establishment, but it must be power for it to really contribute into our politics and economy. There is a chapter that I think is 5 when he talked about the commission and the code. This is my final point now. Those commissions must be again determined by our people. The tendency by you is the assumption that somebody with some leader level of academia becomes wiser than our people. I'm saying to you now, that person who happens to know anthropology must work in tandem with the present wise contribution by our people. Not try and impose some theories into our people. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Number 7, take the floor. No, just go to the mic next to you.
Tashes, Moweni, good day, Dase. My name is Musa Melvin Aronso. I am the Western Cape leader of the Kai Korana, and I speak here today on behalf of our King, Kuba Chata Tribal David, and our provinces, all 9 of them. I greet you in the marvelous name of Jesus, and I say to you, it has been a very long and difficult road to get to this point. What I will do is, I will be very blunt, and I will be very straight to the point, to say that since 1562, the only thing the Kai Korana is known, and why they are called Kai Korana, is simply because it means many, multitude, or great, depending on what language preference you have. We are mostly found on the Methodist mission station, still remaining after 200 years at the Presbyterian and Wesleyan mission stations throughout the country. We have paid a bitter price in seeing no less than 7 colonial wars
long before the Battle of Mamusa. We have seen suffering long before our Qurana forces under Klaus Lucas challenged the Boers and the British on both sides. And we have known nothing but conflict since that time. After the colonial wars, we saw the formation of the liberation movement, and most of our chiefs have fought in that war against apartheid up to our last Nusret, the late great Richard Kutela. What I say to you is, our Kaikorana people have had the misfortune of watching everything disintegrate from one generation to the next. There is not one war that we were forced. We could not sit as spectators in any one of the conflicts that faced this country. So we have been patriots long there was a government in place, long before this building was built. We were forced to fight. Why we had to fight was to retain what was very dear to us. It was our land, our cattle, our culture. There is one particular thing that I would like to bring to your attention. Why we are here today is to say that this bill must be signed into law. Our houses have been ravaged, devastated and destroyed over the last 200 years. In my hands I have the title deeds that the Dutch administration registered with the Act of the Union after the Vrede of Vereniging. Just in the Western Cape and in every Kaikorana province, you will find the Nusseps are in possession of the title deeds they registered over our land at the mission stations in the names of our people. In this case, Olifant, also known as Kaprakorana, my great-grandfather. So what I want to say, our people have sacrificed immensely over the centuries. And wherever we had to fight, as Quranas, we could look out and our people who fought with us were people related to the sun, like the Pequot sun. And those who died with us and fought with us in the colonial wars and the liberation struggle were our Nguni brothers. So I would like to say to you that throughout the memory of centuries in one generation to another generation, where we are today in our districts in the Western Cape, so Witzenberg, Cape Winelands, Swellendam districts, for the last 100 years also, there are many buried there who resisted, who fought with us. So our displacement is as a result of our resistance. But I want to state that there is nothing exclusive, even though we want to say to that commission, you must and have an obligation to identify the legitimate Khoisan people, not to repeat an offense and an injustice against the legitimate Khoisan people. You have an obligation in that commission to find who those people are. Because what we have is, none of us had exclusivity. Where we were, we can tell you there were some people there. But there were Khoisan chieftains in there who fought there with us too. Because the only people who had the ability to wield the spear in our districts was the Sun people and the Xhosa speaking people. So in our memory as Kaikorana, we did not have the luxury in every war so that there was a then and then there was an us. We had to fight the Boers, we had to fight the British. So there was no us and them when they had to fight for everyone else. We had to fight as one. Here in the Western Cape, and the young boys were to face 33 battalions and the special forces of the apartheid government. Then there were my late mother, Kusi Lester Aronsa, and others were forming the United Democratic Movement in the Rockland Civic Center 35 years ago. There was no us and there was no them. For us, the Quranas. Here in the Western Cape, when the blood speaks from this soul who bears our name on it, of Qurana, I will tell you,
my great-grandfather in Kosovo, the last frontier chief of Beaufort West, after the great Kurama fighter, Clark Lucas. After him, my grandfather was murdered in Stellenbosch. So our house is still being led by a woman, my sister Lester Abrams. It has been done so for three generations. Every man in a generation after the children was born was murdered by the boy. So I'm saying to you, you must be very careful when you articulate a history that is not blood related to you. I'm saying, for the record, you can gladly call me Kafar. I am a Kurana. It's a great Kurana. That's the decency at least of saying it to my face. What I want to say is, in terms of this bill, it cannot address every challenge socially, politically, economically that our people face. It must form a foundation upon which other legislative interventions can be structured to bring us closer to the ideals, and those ideals are not different from any other set of ideals that promotes land ownership, that promotes equality, that promotes social justice. It is not separate from those ideas. Because here in Cape Town, you can stay in Langa. The people of Langa don't speak to the people of Bontimo generally. There is one road. You can stand in Langa and you can throw a stone into Bontimo. You can stay in Bontimo and you can throw a stone into Langa. But the evil is the same. Unemployment, unemployment, it is the same. So how can you give the demons different names if they are the same, if the struggles are the same, if the issues are the same? Still the same after 400 years. So what I am saying to you today, as the Kaikurana, it is very reachable in our memory that in terms of this bill, it cannot address the specific questions of the SARA legislation that is tied to the Department of Arts and Culture. The addressing the consequences of the 1909 Mission Station Act, addressing the consequences of the 1930 Native Land Act. There are many pieces of legislation that stand separate from this one, but from a representative point of view, there are two pieces of legislation that stand out, the Independent Public Service Remuneration Act and the Local Government Finance Management Act. It speaks to the capacity of core leaders to be able to function within their constituencies in terms of service delivery and emancipating their tribal communities in terms of resources and a range of other things. Before I move towards my closure, when you walk in Edley Street, there's only one Edley Street. There is no Edley Street for the Khoi and no Edley Street for the Nguni. There's only one Edley Street. When you go to Cape Town International Airport, what I'm saying, in terms of this bill, the traditional leaders, as you said, you have an obligation to clean up after the politicians who have divided this country. We cannot allow further divisions among traditional leaders, be they Khoi or be they Nguni, because when we have to fight, we have to fight at once. It is not the politicians who do the fighting and who do the dying. It is you, my brothers, who have died with us for centuries, and it is us who have the obligation to say to the politicians, we come from a world far older than you. Before this burning one here, we cannot avoid politicians to allow the Khoi to be played off against the Nguni chieftaincies to compete for resources. We cannot allow them to set us up and lead us into an ambush because we are the sons of the soil. What I'm saying, there are specific concerns that the Kaikurana will raise in terms of the committee. Because we are saying, we, in those who we recognize in our district, is being there by the time the Boers had the courtesy. They took our land and they left a little and they said, okay, We are forced now to register title deeds over all the land, so we will register a title deed for you to say that they have title deeds. But what they did after that, yes, the title deed, then they brought the other laws, the group area there, to take us all there. So fortunately, we are saying between 1850 and 1950, we still have paper. But now the Kaikurana has to prove in statutory processes the presence of all those who were there. They are Frikwa, they are Nama, they are other Bushman clans. So not even in our districts do we claim exclusive government. They have been there for centuries. There is no such thing as any particular coin district in this country being exclusive to a particular coin group. We will take our title deeds and prove it. We as coin were forced to fight as one. We were forced to stand as one. Therefore, in terms of this bill, we will say the provisions of that committee must make sure that every district has representatives from the coin and some community. If people of other forms or organizations want to participate, we should welcome them. But we should say, let us make sure we understand we are going into one future. A 2017, a 2018, and a 2019, there is one future. There is no Nguni and Koi future in that future. Whoever is going to run the country, we have an obligation to say, we here in the Western Cape must confront the issues that is killing our people, drug addiction, child molestation, be it in Langa, be it in the Noon, or be it in Ravenstein, be it in Elsie. The evil is counting on these divisions to grow stronger against us. And in the Bible it says, evil prevails when good men do nothing. Now I am assuming all the chiefs, head women, and traditional leaders are good people. Today we have, in spite of the wrongs of the past, had to acknowledge the good that has been done by the Afrikaner constituency and the contribution they made. Just because we have a better world and we that we fought against them does not take away also their contribution. In particular today, there are many white communities who are going out of their way to help preserve the cultural heritage of Khoi and Nguni chieftaincies. So my point is, the traditional Ku and Sando must be a middle ground where people can meet and unite to build on this ideal. Not an ANC government ideal, not any political party ideal, but the very same ideals that drove our ancestors to fight the colonists and to fight apartheid. Those are the ideals that are not, it's older than the political parties that they have today. But it proudly belongs to all those chiefs. It belongs to you as much as it belongs to us. So, what I am saying, we are stronger than this demon. We have been stronger than every adversity that faced this country for centuries. We are still here. So what I'm saying is, in terms of the Kaikurana submission, we will have a technical submission based on Chapter 4, which relates to the time frames. Which relates to the time frames. We have a serious question about the power of premiers in this province, because unfortunately, we have in the Western Cape a premier that does not very clear on the whole question of what a traditional leader is, which makes it very dangerous for the Khoi and some people, because you have a premier in the Western Cape who don't know what Khoi and some is. That makes it a situation where we specifically will insist that certain functions contained in this bill become a national competency. It is politically inherently dangerous to give those powers to premiers, because it again subjects the traditional leaderships to political intervention. In the years to come, provincial governments could change every 5 years. We cannot have a new political philosophy governing traditional leaders every 5 years. Starting with the Western Cape, the Kaikorana is going to propose that those functions be taken away from the Western Cape Union. So what we are saying is, we have a situation where the specific, in terms of where I say, we cannot be traditional leaders but complete strangers. We drive past each other, we walk past each other. However, when we sit here, we speak on constituency, but when we go back, we have to go back where the hijackers are waiting, where the bullets are flying, where the churches are robbing us, but we can do nothing about it. So my proposal would be that these traditional leaders get together, be the organization, be the bloodline grouping, so that a consultative forum is created on this matter of the bill between the Guni speaking chieftains and leadership and us, because there is no separate 2017 and no separate 2018. There is no separate future. So that would be the first proposal from the Kaikorana. The others would deal specifically with the time frames. Poverty has taken over completely in terms of the Western Cape. It is up to chieftaincies to have their national structures and provincial structures in place and prepare adequate formulas of governance to ensure that communities benefit and that chieftaincies not enrich themselves at the expense of our suffering people. However, that is a governance challenge. It is a management challenge. It does not implicate the bill negatively. The bill as it stands is a rough framework that makes us feel like straight. However, it gives an opportunity to identify the key constitutional issues that can be rectified through the bill. So my plea to you is, when we leave this building today, we will face the same challenges, being knocked over by a car, having our cell phones robbed. I appeal to you, let us get together. If every chieftaincy in this room gets together, regardless of who you vote for, and you are united as Nguni and Khoi, the politicians are going to wet their pants here. Because if you stand together, they will not you. They will know there could be very serious implications for their political future if they ignore a united front and say, yes, we are different. For us, it's not that big. The thing is, we speak together, all our Kaikorana chieftaincies, because we intermarried with predominantly Khoisan, in some cases in the north with Basotho, in some cases further inland with Venda. So we are saying we have a different rainbow thingy running in our blood, a Kaikorana. In there you'll even find a Griqua in there or two also. Even a Nama or two you will find there in also. So in our Kaikorana you will find pitch black woman with blue eyes. Then you say, go, this Kaikorana, and you are much bigger than the other Koi you big. That is, you see, we couldn't have put that part, the Kaikorana, you see.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
That's all right. That's clear.
Kunkosi uDalxolo osuka kwisizwe samahlubi ndisekhaya litsha phantsi kwesizwe samaxwesibe ndingu-organizer kakhondolelo. Masibulele kakhulu eli langa sithe salifumana namhlanje lale mbili.
ethathe ixesha elide koko yayihambile. Ndinoloyiko ke tata xa ngoku siyixoxa siqhubekeka ngayo. Ewe, nina nilungile ukuza ebantwini abantu bathethe ngento yabo. Esi sizwe ke samakhosikane njengoba sizithethile
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Jalupola from the Subi clan. I am from Khayelitsha, working with the group of Amaxesibe. The bill took too long to be brought to us, and it raises some fear to me. But it's a good thing that you gave us a platform to talk about it. About the Khoye Nama clan or group.
Ndicinga le minyaka ke ingapha kweminyaka engamakhulu amathathu anamashumi amahlanu esi sizwe sehluthwa ubusona.
It is more than 350 years after this nation or this indigenous people have been that they are nationality has been, or status has been taken away from them.
Now, in democracy, in any nyanga, in our shuma madini, and any nyanga is the shuma nesposa. Ngo kukeyo na ngakiyam, ingaba kaute ube nini abantu ule democracy, besupeka, bebulalana. Kuba abantu besilwa kangaka nje bebulalana kungenxeni yoba kunikwa lungelo kwizikumkani neenkosi zabo nemihlaba yindlala akukho namanzi ngoku.
This new democratic dispensation is more than 20 years and 18 months. I'm now having a question as how long are these people have to suffer? They have no land, there's poverty, there's violence, there's crime that is taking place, and they are landless.
Ingase ke lo rhulumente ayithathe ingqalelo loo nto akhawulezise angajikelezi namhlanje uyivile eyona yona nto ifunwa ngamakhoyi emzana.
I wish that the government should understand the urgency of this issue, because today you heard what they need. They have clearly voiced it out. I just wish that you can try to expedite this process.
Noba kulindelekile uba aye kwezinye iiprovensi sebefanele uba nje athathe ezi zinto and kuba lo rhulumente apha entshona koluni kulapho abantu basokolayo. Njengoba kukho ezi ngxaki zokulwa kwabantwana, abantwana baye besifa siyaphela isizwe. Ngase kikhawuleziswe kulo nyakuzayo athe bethu mathi kube sekusayiniwe zonke ezi zinto zithethwayo, kuba naye uyayazi inyaniso nantsi eze naye.
If it were up to me, after having listened to this gathering today, I wouldn't think that it was necessary to go and visit other provinces, because in this province where we are, it's where life is very difficult. Because by listening to this proverb or the people of this proverb, that's where you get all the challenges, the difficulties that they come across. Their children are being murdered, violence among the children, or violence among the youth, and all different challenges. You find the worst in this proverb.
Yes.
Kuphela ke mna ngeba ndithi ndinika nje inyanga ezintathu emveni koko niphinde nibuye nisithi ndikugqityiwe ngoku umthetho uyasebenza.
I thank the opportunity. If it were up to me, I would wish that by March next year, you would have finalized everything. I would say, I don't have much to say, but I would say, I would only give you these 3 months to finalize the whole process, because the people have spoken.
Let us proceed and take number 9. Who's number 9? Number 9.
Kun je nog voor en toe een pik op een
raad? Ja, maar ik
ga hier een pik op een raad. Ja, ik moet er even op gaan. Dat wordt eerst toch gepraat. Ah, helemaal lachen.
Hier waren kaisjes, piraten, pastoren, agos op het voorhuis, chairman.
From time to time, we'll allow the translators to assist, interpreters, sisters. I think they'll find time to do so.
My name is Richard John Harry. Here, Pano is a Nazi. Van die Korahana kwam. Maar ik present die eentruid die daar is, 15 truid, ik present die hele 15 truid van die poetsmannen en van die kooi-kooi. Mijn aanwijzing is vanmorgen dat die government stemt samen met ons. Ons moet onze huis in orde krijgen.
Let us allow a translation, otherwise it will be too long for him to translate.
I'm from the Koranakwa, and there are altogether 15 tribes, and I represent these Khoi Khoi.
Constitution debates the first constitution of the application stated according to the constitution. The bill deals with matters of traditional leadership, and in this institution is referring to the 621 and 212 of the constitution. The bill furthermore make provisions for the official recognition of the Khoisan committee and leaders, as well as for 94. The provision that also South Africa constitution must admit the Khoisan mensen is a provision and listed recht of constitution application section 21. What ons moet maken, die hele 15 reis moet allemaal bij elkaar komen. Ik lees hier.
Ja, dat man afwoord lief.
The constitution does not ignore or it does recognize the different tribes, and all these tribes have to get together.
At least here in the constitution, there are some three, two tribes, the Kusikwa, and there is another tribe, I don't know if it takes me a minute or five. Hulle aas nie ken nie bakaan, maar hulle behoort aan die selle Kusikwa.
The two tribes who two gods who belong to the same
principle.
Number 7, the Essequa. Jesus Christ, see, trust for the Essequa, niemand can look at him.
There are about 4 tribes of the Essequa, and they don't know one another at all.
Exodus are between.
They don't know each other either.
As 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tribes, verschillende namen, niemand kent elkaar.
There are 7 tribes and they also don't know one another.
Tell you all the history of 15 years. 15 jaar repenten en 15 jaar stel je voor de historie. Als niet, zo is het een jaar geleden te hoog repenten.
I've been studying our history for 15 years.
In een jaar geleden begint de repenten te hoog.
A year ago I started to hold my pencil or I suppose write
something.
Because I've been going from one meeting to another.
Die zich die belangrijkste plaats heeft, ons is 5 jaar geleden voor de aardse kansen gekomen. En alle heeft ons geaanvaard met onze constitutie, het regie, het plan heeft ons gekregen en dit. Ik zoek 25 overheidsers, 15 tribes, 15 tribes en 10 kerken. Kom ons dan bij elkaar en dan maar, ik heb die plan
bereikt.
Hier is de naam van de 25. Die kooi en boetmoene herhente kaarse kjaanse. Dat is die naam van die 25 organisaties, zodat die government kan weet waarom ik 30 miljoen ratten te Ik ben 100% saam. Of is die religie niet? Of is ook die business mensen niet? Of is ook die politici niet? Of is historische, historische mensen van Zuid-Afrika? Of is nog daar? 1939 was ik geboren tot 83. De afgelopen jaren, toen was ons Boesman genoemd. Door die Boesman nog een 4-voet. Ze krijgen alle kallen. Alle wat anders. Ja, omtrent 65 ogen van die Boesman heeft hier voor de Westkant afgegaan. En daarom wordt die
Can you agree that we are not religious and we're not business and we're not politicians, but we are historical people? I was born in 1939, 3 years to go, then I will be 80 years old. And I also know about the Bushmen. They come in all colors and they walk on 4 feet, but mostly they are
hunters.
My father was Khoi Khoi, and mostly we are dark skinned, and my third generation is also.
No! Two of the youngsters, we said, I don't want this. Two, Rupert, Hotham, John, yeah, or not. So come on up on Khoi Khoi. Two number of their Khoi Star. Khoi Star, come on up. Do you need a safe group for us? Do you go to Anakwa? Hrikwa? Namakwa? Anakwa? Numero?
Yeah. Anakwa.
We were called, and then we became Hotnot, and after that we became different variants of Khoisan, Koranakwa, Hrikwa, and all the Kwa.
And all the same color people. And all the color. You should not watch us for that. No. As you admit them, that we take 5 foot, the Bushman, and his 3 foot, and his 5 foot, and 6 foot, and as you admit that, the 5 foot.
Come now, this is a very serious matter, please.
I'm going to make finish now. The language of the Khoikhoi in the Sahel is the Nama language, Korah. The Nama language and the Korana language are one. As the Nama language knows, the effort of all of you share also clearly answer all the Sahel.
Come venezolano.
No, no, nasi, but the talent with chiaris. And the government has to give
it to the
chiaris. And the chiaris has to give it to the
chiaris.
Come on, Clara. Oh, we do have so many government. They start to get to the government. The government is of Macaher on the advance we are the Korana, we are the Khrikwa, we are the Fear Dai, also Marathi on the Savory government, also the Nazi, and also the Nazi and the land, the land of Western Province. Western Province is even worse than Province of the Khrikwa, the of Gatamun, up in the head of Dawood.
Our colored people, we do have a language, the Khoisan language, and if you're a nation, you must have money. We must not give up. The government must give us money. We must also pray for government. Scripture says that we must pray for government. We as a nation, we have lands. We start from the Western Cape, we walk through to the Northern Cape. Actually, the whole of South Africa is Khoisan land.
It's the Western Province.
The Western
Province. Western Province. That we must, the Khoisan people. It's definitely absolutely no. Absolutely. At the core, I was in Worcester. The Damakwa is a Dakna Anakan, and I'm going to push a quarter of three by the letter V, they can cheat the V by a hood. I think we have a brilliant idea. I'm going to go to Anakwa, and for what I have for Anakwa, right? I love the Western Province, and the inner is for Fra, Fra, Lila, but it's going down, I have to work. I'm going to push a quarter. I'm going to get the Hello, sister. The Inqua. I trust that in me the Qua as a guarantee, as a vada of a Khoisan that is as a clear ridiculous.
That is
us.
David Bragg Rending was guaranteed to be a quantum.
Complemented with undisputed national and international archive material,
instruction instruments have been founded and registered with the relevant authorities to provide for matters connected with
this one.
Commendable achievement.
What you say, Tony?
The Crown has successfully defeated and protected the rights of his subjects in obtaining their right to exercise the aspiration to enter into contract with the service of the African National Defence Force. The Crown has successfully defeated and protected the right of his subjects, ensuring soon to be implemented the Khoisan Economic Empowerment, in short, the KEE, in all government institutions. The Crown deemed it fit to advise that the Khoisan race to be separated from the traditional communities when it comes to legislation. The Crown deemed it fit to state that you have no regular powers over the Khoisan royalty and its administrative powers and execution therefore. The Crown deemed it fit to advise you to recommend and affirm our royalty of state royalty to the state president. Hope all is in all above mentioned is in order. Very important again. The Holy Bible remains the constitution of the entire Khoisan race. Royal greetings and blessings. His Royal Majesty Henry Rodney January. Yes, Mr. Chair, Mr.
South Africa belongs to the Khoisan only. This bill must be rejected. That is an Antichrist bill. God Almighty can install a king with divine powers, prophecy and anointing. There's no way that the Premier has a power over any Khoisan. The world tried to divide our people. There is 18 tribes, and the world acknowledged only 5. They call them the Big 5. I don't know where it's coming from. But before the king, all tribes is equal. I'm talking about the Hikunko, the Kung, the Unakwa, the Masarwa, the Batwa, the Griqua, the Damakwa, the Kunakwa, the Unakwa, the Hichakwa, the Kam, the Kurana, the Sutu, the Tswana, the Groot Nama, the Klein Nama, the Atakwa, the Inkwa, the Pona, the Makwa, and the Batwa. Now, so that must be seen in not heard. That's why I don't understand that so many people are talking about tribes that don't know the other tribes. The children, I hope they are all here. The great of the Groot Farikwa, the Klein Farikwa, the Udikwa, the Konokwa, the Forofokwa, the Amakwa, the Atokwa, and the Kochikwa. We must understand that they are the children. And that's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll bring my submission front to you and we'll excuse ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you. Foundation is very helpful for us. Thank you also for the flag. give it to the secretary of the committee. Thank you for written submission. If also the other colleagues or members who got their own written submission, please submit them to the secretary. We are going to break at 1 for something to eat and be back at 2. Of course, the parliament is sitting. Maybe some of you may want to go and listen to debate in the National Assembly. Surely I think that can be arranged for those who want also to see what is happening in parliament. Let us take number 11.
Thank you, Chair.
Where are you?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I want to know, is there any questioning or answers after the session?
No, we'll absolutely assist to comment. Okay. The meeting is meant for input and presentation and proposals.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we'll allow you to comment. If also you want members of parliament to comment, you can come this side and take it over and make
some issues
that we want them to assist. They're here, really, for that purpose. But this meeting belongs to you. That's why we are allowing you sufficient time to make your point. Members of Parliament will look at it.
Let our side start now.
We are far away. We are up there.
Huh?
Hello?
Thank you, Chief.
No. From lunch, you'll come down and take a platform. I don't want to hear from you. No. Number 1, when we come back from lunch. Thank you very much. Let us proceed with number 11. Number 11.
Thank you, Chair.
Where are you? As long as you're number 11. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Lady Peterson. I represent the African Koi and Sun Congress, and I am
just repeat the organization.
The African Koi and Sun Congress.
Oh, African Koi and Sun Congress. Okay,
correct. I'm living in West Bank. Now, we as the African Koi and Sun Congress strongly suggest that this bill must be rejected, based on the fact that it does not make allowance for community leaders to have any say in who must be appointed to deal responsibly with the affairs and problems affecting our people. Yet it's a noble idea to suggest that chiefs as traditional leaders must handle them. Who appoint chiefs in our communities, and we said it would be leaders that will enjoy the recognition and acceptance of the greater communities. People who are truly dedicated to advance the plight of the poorest of the poor, the destitute and the marginalized. The reason why we cannot support this bill is it will further erode or diminish our people's current tenuous position. When our country claims the best celebrated constitution in the world, and yet our people are crying for true leadership because the real leaders who are also not employed are attending daily to the needs of our people. They suffer themselves in abject poverty without recognition by a government. We reiterate the position of the Land and Accountability Research Center that says, centralizing ownership and control at the level of senior traditional leadership contradicts the layered decision, making power of family-based and village community level structures that ensure customary accountability. This bill proposed to consolidate and inherit a one-size-fits-all imposed tribal identity from the traditional leadership and governance framework act. Why must we hang on to something that does not work? Many chiefs claim they have the sole authority to represent the people living within their tribal jurisdiction,
the Constitutional Court reject the claim in Pilani versus Pilani. Now this bill says traditional leaders should negotiate investment and mining deals on communal land on behalf of rural communities. While seeking to empower traditional leaders, the bill does not once require them to consult the people whose land rights would be directly affected by their decision. Now rural people have insisted that their land belongs to them, and it would be betrayal to transfer title of their land to traditional leaders. We would like to suggest that the same should apply to us living in urban areas. We will not hand our land over to traditional leaders. Space is so limited, not much can be done on our land anyway. With specific reference to the RDP houses, the building quality is anyway so bad that it will be a disaster if a strong enough storm would hit Western and other areas. These houses we are living in are in a very bad condition. When winter comes, the rain comes right through the thick block and it remains wet for quite some time, a breeding ground for tuberculosis. Coming back to the bill, people will get rights only to their homestead, plots therefore forfeiting their customary rights to fields, grazing land and forests. Individual titling is so complex that the government has not even been able to give urban people title deeds to their RDP houses. Individual title often benefits the strong at the expense of the vulnerable, men at the expense of women, the rich at the expense of the poor. Title deeds make people vulnerable to debt, foreclosure, and to selling land as the only means to raise money for emergencies. We oppose the concomitant recognition of chiefs to have rights. We are against self-proclaimed chiefs, also against people who secretly interact and engage with government and claim that they represent the entire Khoi and San nation. We would like to propose elders who will be recognized and authorized based on the legitimacy, customary affiliation by the people. If this will not be considered, the struggle for democracy and equal recognition of ethnic and customary values entrenched in the Constitution will then count for nothing. The bill locks people into authority of unaccountable traditional leaders. The geographic boundaries in Clause 10 of the bill creates the dangerous impression that traditional leaders have exclusive authority over traditional community members living within the traditional council boundaries. We are saying, believe if you live in the community in our geographical boundaries of the first descendants, Khoi San, Griqua, Kurana, Kalan, etc. community, regardless of tribal history, such a person can be eligible for appointment as an elder in that community. We need an elder system, especially for those of us that are not so familiar with the traditional leadership. We need leaders who are not corrupt, who are honest, upright, taking the needs and problems of their people serious by acting decisively. This bill goes against the values of free and fair public participation, which are enshrined in our constitution and customary law honored by millions of South Africans. The bill excludes ordinary people from consulting on any decisions that will affect them. The bill furthermore is silent on what the relationship would be between elected local government leaders and traditional leaders, or what traditional leaders will mean in relation to the consultation recognition of separate powers for separate branches of government. Clause 25 is open to misinterpretation and abuse. We say, don't give us the bill, give us our land. Our forefathers were farmers with their own piece of land, their own cattle, their own goats and sheep. Don't pick our leaders, we will do it ourselves. We only recommend elders.
Amen. We will elevate elders who will be familiar with the customs and traditions of our people. Don't talk for us. We talk for ourselves. After 23rd of the after the clause 23 of the democracy, we are discriminated against. I mean, after 3 years, 23 years. Sorry, we are discriminated against on affirmative action, black economic empowerment. Don't give us a name like the apartheid leaders. We know who we are. We as the African Khoi and Sun Congress do hereby give formal notice that the public hearings are impractical, intentionally designed to keep us, the Khoisan, Griqua, Bushmen, Coloured, etc., etc., people on the outside. We argue that the actions of holding public hearings are not procedurally fair, not reasonable, and is therefore unconstitutional. We reject this bill and suggest that an inclusive process that will allow the people's leaders to present their case in a just and equitable process for a win-win process and not a win-lose situation. I thank you, Chairperson. Yes.
Thank you very much for your input. You are assisting us to learn from the experience. Let's take the last one, that is number 12.
Huh?
Number 12, in Weber, check the platform. Just come closer here and get something.
Ah, ik dacht dat ik erbij ga met zelf laten zijn, boys. Ja, nee, hij was even kracht aan de taak. Ik moet weer niet aan. Ik woon er wat gedaan. Hij is zeer als verkooi. Ja, ja, dat kan ik. Niet alle draai, moest ik kwijt te praten, moest je allemaal.
Precies.
Los allemaal. Geen allemaal die op het kieën.
I am Gao, or King Kuba Cornelius III, head of the Royal House of the Khoisan Nation of South Africa. We, the Royal House of the Khoisan Nation, herewith reject this proposed bill in its entirety for the following reasons. We have consulted with international experts of the Indigenous Bill of Rights, and this proposed bill is racist. On its face, it is racist for the following reasons. It treats the Khoisan in a manner completely that ensures radical inequalities insistently in the method of indirectly expropriating the economic patrimony of the nation. It destroys the leadership and it creates a sense of confusion because it has no knowledge of the way in which the traditional leaders are established under Khoisan customs. And this is flagrantly formulated in the face of the Constitution, and it is a flagrant institutionalization of racism under the current regime. One of my advisors has asked me to present this. It is a reply to the press statement that was made in the newspaper. He says the press has recently reported that the Deputy Minister Obed Bafela, an alleged black South African, has recently proclaimed himself to be the national scientific expert on the Aboriginal nations of South Africa. His public statements concerning the First Nation status of the Khoisan is a tissue of misrepresentation. It is clear, and not only is he ignorant about Aboriginal rights, but he knows absolutely nothing about Aboriginal people of South Africa, including the Khoisan. The Deputy Minister has determined that without adequate historical or ethnographic research, the government may arbitrarily decide who is Khoisan leader, who is not a Khoisan leader, who the government favorites are for Khoisan leadership, and who the government detests as a matter of leadership capacity and political severity. This initiative is such a convoluted expression of government policy, and it completely ignores the fact that the Khoisan had a system of customary law which facilitated determination of traditional leaders, and additionally determine the endurance of traditional leadership by the process of community acceptance. This initiative on the part of the government is nothing other than old-fashioned colonialism, with the emphasis on dividing the Khoisan nation in order to rule them separately. It is a prescription for subservience. The deputy minister then makes the grievous assumption that should the Khoisan be recognized for the fact that they are the first nation of South Africa, that the Khoisan would instantly declare their right to self-determination and independence from the South African state. The deputy minister obviously has a fertile imagination, because certainly there is no such, no evidence of such an initiative in the entire Khoisan nation. The Khoisan are South Africans. They are the first nation of South Africa. They feel proud about the fact that they are the first nation of South Africa. And they do not need a mediocre and ignorant deputy minister to diminish their right to South African citizenship with full equality and without any racial discrimination. The deputy minister then makes a comparison with the first nations in North America and Latin America. The deputy minister knows absolutely nothing about first nation status in Latin America, and he should be ashamed of the guesswork he has introduced into this discourse. Let us give him an example. The first nation of Ecuador is the Shuar nation in the Amazonia in Ecuador. The Shuar nation are a part of the state of Ecuador, and every member of the Shuar nation is a citizen of Ecuador. Under the constitutional system of Ecuador, the Shuar are given certain autonomy over certain matters that are exclusive to their form of living and governance. This does not mean that the Shuar nation are less Ecuadorian than anyone else. It is possible that distinctive features of their culture can be given a form of derivative constitutional status to respect their right to self-determination and autonomy in their internal governance. The Honorable Deputy Minister says that no determination can be about First Nation status of the Khoisan because he is not certain how the migratory patterns actually evolved in South Africa. The Deputy Minister is completely ignorant even of South African history. In this, he is a representative of the most shameful aspect of the current system governance of South Africa. Essentially, what he is trying to say is that the Khoisan who fought for 200 years for their status and their freedom, who were subject to genocide, forced labor, and slavery, are now to be deprived of their rights, which they fought for over 200 years. The Deputy Minister needs to go back to primary school to learn a little more about the country's history, because he certainly is not a representative of what this culture has provided in terms of the Constitution. It would be very helpful if the Director General, Muzumani Charles, had the barest take on what the Constitution does. For this information, a Constitution is nothing other than an instrument to allocate competence to the various groups that constitute the nation state, and a right for businessmen, Constitution, and may carve out rights for minorities. It may carve out rights for majorities. It may carve out rights for businessmen, labor, healthcare, and whatever. The Constitution is a way of dividing up the power and the competence in a society to make it run smoothly and fairly. The fact that the Khoisan are recognized as a First Nation simply means that the Khoisan have a stake in the voice that governs them and can put their demands on the table for what it is in the best interest of the Khoisan for their culture, their development, and their contribution to South Africa as a whole. It is pathetic that the DG has virtually no concept of what the Constitution is, and it's pathetic that South Africa should be put people like this in portfolios of such importance. When we cut through the verbiage of the Deputy Minister at the DG, what he has said is nothing but xenophobic racism which targets a victim, and that victim is the Khoisan nation of South Africa. It is clear to us that historical evidence demonstrates without ambiguity that the Khoisan nation is the first nation in Southern Africa. Therefore, the effort on the part of the government of South Africa to deny First Nation status is essentially a position designed to deprive them of their fundamental rights to which they are entitled under international law. It should be noted that the Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous People is based on pre-existing documents approved by the United Nations. And these documents reflect the treaty law governing the International Bill of Rights. And because the Declaration is also based on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, most of its provisions, regardless of what South Africa says, already has the status of customary international law. And is already binding in South Africa. The critical question is, why is South Africa in such denial of an obvious fact? And the answer is very simple. Racism. Black racism. The only reason the Deputy Minister says that the recognition of the First Nation status for the Khoisan is unsustainable is because he believes that the black majority would resist on racial grounds the recognition of the Khoisan who were here before them. This was compiled by the Royal House of the Khoisan Nation Advisor on International Law, Professor Winston Nathan, an expert on international and indigenous human rights law. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we have represented them very well. Thank you very much to that. We are going to break for lunch. Just hold on a bit, just to explain. When we come back from lunch, we'll start this side.
No.
There's someone up there who will come back after lunch, there are two of them, Baba Lukolo. We are going to take all of you.
Sure.
Just take it easy. Let us try to enjoy something. But one thing that we are requesting is that Amakhosi, the chief, should get out this side. Amakhosi, of course, it's very difficult to recognize sometimes by the course. Well, it's a man named Amakhosi, South Africa. Everyone now in course. And Amakhosi, all the chiefs and kings and queens will be this side. We request many of us to remain here because we are going to have our lunch here. It's very difficult to have another venue in the National Assembly to speak at this. And please just bear with us that we are going to do that. Of course, those who want to go out again, they can go out, but we are going to provide something to eat here. Please assist us to do it that way. Just to thank the colleagues who have made a contribution since this morning. I think members of parliament are here, they are taking notes. Researchers are here, also they are taking notes. As we come in, we'll be able then to deal with some of these issues. We have raised very, very important areas that we need to consider. Please enjoy your lunch. Amakhosi this side. So Kumangapa is Amakhosi.
Because they are the chiefs and that.
And will allow some of these. But the bigger question that I think that we must try to.
It's the way they show they give recognition to us.
Please, Amakhosi, take this way. Colleagues, many of us will remain here. Amakhosi,
Amakhosi
must go and have discussion with Amakhosi.
You
must salute Amakhosi.
Thank you.
For the audio, yeah.